Right, so we're going to think this morning about a bit more about looking out. If you're visiting us this morning, we've been doing quite a long series about some words that God spoke to our hearts about going deeper, going wider, and going higher. And that's deeper into our relationship with God, wider into church and local and global community, and higher in praise and worship and prayer. And we're on wider part 19. We'll get there in the end. I started about a year ago, by the way. So I'm really encouraged. I don't know. I hope you don't think, oh no, not more of this. I'm really encouraged by what God has brought to me to be able to share over the weeks and months, and to get to this point where we're looking globally, it's really quite encouraging that that we can pray for Rob and True today, we can sign their birthday cards, and the possibilities of us as a little gathering, we're not a very big church, the opportunities that God gives to people in this church to be able to reach out locally, nationally, and internationally is really, well, those things are really good to be able to do. And you know that sometimes we always say, oh, it couldn't be us, couldn't be me, I could never do that. But in actual fact, it's not up to you. If you know that God is speaking to you, then it's up to you, really, to listen and to follow. Okay? So today, I want to start really by thinking about, oh, hang on, I've got this scripture. This is the basis for what we looked at last week and what we're looking at this week. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, you can be a witness to Jesus just by living. Yeah? Just by going out there and living, you can be a witness to Jesus. Why don't you swear? Why don't you laugh at dirty jokes with everybody else? How come you talk about your wife with respect? Simple little things, just by living in a good way, you can share the Lord, okay? Finica came, and she was sitting in our lounge, and we were having a little time where she was talking about Bolivia, and there she is. And one of the questions that was asked was, how do we get involved in this mission, or mission in general? And she said a couple of things. Firstly, she said, if you want to get involved with our mission, firstly, learn Spanish, because we haven't got time for English speakers, because it's all done in Spanish. But then she also said this, get stuck into the local church. Okay, get stuck in. Because we say, we have a saying at home, good missionary training. Things in the church are good missionary training. They are good in themselves, but they're also good to train you up. So when you get asked to rod the drains because they're backed up, it's good missionary training. But I want us to think about it in a little bit like as a family today, okay? So start off with, I want to describe the family, this clip art family that I've got on the screen today. And I want to describe them, and I want to akin it to us as a group of people, okay? So we've got dad and, or Mr. and Mrs., newly married, and they are too. They're enjoying each other, and then along comes some children. It started off with one, but then pretty soon it was two or three, or in our case, four, or in the park's case, six. And I've got a friend in South Africa who's got nine, but we won't go there. Okay, and these children, they start growing up, and as they grow up, they don't just sit in their own little rooms doing their own things, okay? They're part of a family that works, okay? It's not just the mum that does all the work and everyone else sits around and lounges, okay? But everyone gets involved. Now, if that's not quite the case in your house, then perhaps you need to adjust. I know. And it gets difficult. When they get to teenage years, it gets a little bit more difficult to, can you do the sweeping? Can you help with the cooking? And actually, I was looking for clip art and photographs of boys doing household chores. Okay, and I found this boy doing the washing up, and I found this boy cooking. But when I put in teenager cooking, look at this. This is the page. It's all the same picture. All the same boy doing the same things. So is there only one boy in England that cooks? I don't know. Is there only one teenager that hoovers? I don't know. But the thing is, they're not isolated, okay? The kids are not isolated from the parents. They get involved with whatever the parents do, okay? If you take any family, what the family is interested in, the kids start to take a part with. My brother is a cyclist. That's his day job. He's a cyclist and he guides tours of people around Sussex and what have you, and further afield. His two kids both own mountain bikes. When they go on holiday, I mean, his kids are 27 and 22 or thereabouts, but when they go on holiday, they don't go in the car, they go on their bikes. It's all just part of their life. In our house, everyone grew up singing. Everyone grew up playing guitar. And in Naomi's house, when she does her choir with four-part harmony, her kids have been involved with that as well. It's what happens in the family. It just, everyone gets involved. But then, mum and dad also begin to see the gifting that is beginning to develop in their kids, in their teenagers. And hopefully, there's encouragement along those lines. As they start to develop, I'm thinking I'd like to do this. When I was seven, I wanted to be a doctor, okay? Until I watched an operation on TV. And that was it, okay? But after that, I wanted to be a builder. I wanted to be an architect like my uncle. And I've got twin uncles. One's an architect, one's a quantity surveyor. And that was my plan, to actually go and work with them. So I started straight away. College was building college. But my mum and dad encouraged me in that. Okay? You know, sometimes you get a family business and the parents hope that the children will just join in with the family business. And sometimes they do. And sometimes they say, well, okay, the family's been a butcher for three or four generations, but I really want to be a musician. And it's at that point that the parents have to say, well, we either push you along our way or we encourage you in what you're doing. All right? And then when it comes to college and it gets to university and you have to let them go, that's really hard. You get to graduation and then you get to the first job. All those things that have happened, and it's all been part of the family. And then they've grown up and they've gone on their own way and doing their own things. Okay? But you trust that what you've put into them over the years is something that they will live out. So if we sit down at our dining table, we used to sit down when there were six of us at home, and every day after supper, we would read Daily Light Scripture together. Okay, I can remember one occasion we had a visiting speaker come to speak in the church. They came to a meal at our place, and then I was just asked a question, and then the guy, his name was Ron, and he said, well, if you get the Bible out and look at this. And Beth said, great, Bible study. She went to the shelf, got the Bible out. I hope that as a family, that's our heart. Oh, great Bible study. Oh, I want to get involved in what the family are doing. Okay? And so when we think globally, when we think over the whole world, this family in this church, we're not just here. Do you remember last week we talked about just sitting in a boat together and enjoying life? But actually, we've got a destination as a group of people. Our destination is heaven. But as a group of people, as a community of God's people, we're going in a certain direction. We're able at this moment to reach out to a lot of international people. It's a real privilege to do that. And it's great to be our community, to be wider. When we first started church many years ago, we had a lot to do with Brazil because the pastor of the day had got a Brazilian connection. Although he was English, he had a Brazilian connection. And we had people here teaching us Portuguese so that we could all learn Portuguese. I've got a picture somewhere of a row of ladies all learning every week about... you were in there, weren't you, Val? Yeah, learning Portuguese. And it was... Eu gosto de banana. That's it. That's all I remember. I like bananas. That's all I remember. Michelle can sing songs in Portuguese, but. But we learned, and eventually our pastor, Peter, went to Portugal as a missionary with his wife and family, speaking Portuguese. But it's something that as a family should be in our hearts, not just, aren't we a nice little group together, but it should be us looking out to Clifton Road, to Worthing, to England, and looking out to the world. And it's sometimes, I said last time, didn't I, about the fact that sometimes God puts things on our hearts and they just grow. Now, I don't know everybody's story in the room, but I know that for some people, as God has laid things on their hearts, they've thought, they've prayed, and in the end they've thought, I've got to go and do something about this. So some people have gone and they've served in different places, and later on we'll look at a list of things. But I want you to realise as well that going global with the love of God isn't generally this high-powered thing. You know, you sometimes go somewhere and they go, oh, we've got Matt and Michelle here. They're missionaries from Kenya. No. No, not at all. Come on, folks, we're just ordinary. Everyone who's out on the mission field is ordinary. Okay? Everyone who's out there, most of the people that we knew in Kenya were sick. Missionaries. There was something wrong with them. And yet they still continued to serve. You still have to go shopping. You still have to go down to the supermarket and buy your food. You still have to live. You don't live in this little bubble of doing God's will. You have to live. You have to transpose your life to a different place, to a different culture, and that can be difficult, but you go ahead and you start working and doing what God has given you to do alongside living. Okay? Now, as I say, generally, it's not high-powered. We looked after 9 boys who were teenagers. Imagine, we had 4 girls at home. When they'd all grown up, we went abroad and looked after 9 teenage boys. Ah! It was something else, I tell you. But they were all at school during the term. It was just us. And we did different things. We lived our lives. This is just what was going on in Nakuru with missionaries, okay, while we were there. There were people church planting. There were people training pastors. There were people sorting out water, clean water. There was a baby unit for little orphan babes. There was a young mums and babies unit run by a couple of an English couple. There was a nursery and primary school, at least 2, or if not 3 or 4, going on. We were looking after ex-street boys. There was a children's home. There was training for farmers. There was training and empowerment for women in farming and sewing and jewellery. Jewellery? Yeah. Making, baking, cafes, tailoring. There were even Ethiopians there who their mission field, they opened an Ethiopian restaurant and their mission field was every customer that came in. We had missionaries from the US, the UK, Sweden, Germany, South Africa, Ethiopia, and I'm sure I've missed. Lots of Americans. And they all came, most of them, came from churches. 1 or 2 didn't, but most of them came from churches. And they reported back to their churches in their home countries. They were just wider. Yeah? They were just moving out according to what God wanted them to do. Now, this week I read in My Utmost for His Highest this, listen. The aim of the missionary is to do God's will. Not to be useful. Not to win the heathen. Now, they are useful, and they do win the heathen, but that's not their aim. Their aim is to do the will of God. So if you were to say in your heart, I want to do your will, Lord, who knows where you'll end up? Who knows? We had a couple in the church who moved all the way to Brighton. Now you say, well, is that global? Not quite. But they moved, they felt on their hearts to move to Brighton to minister to home, I think I've said this recently, to minister to homosexuals who wanted out of that lifestyle because the man had been there and done it. And, wow. What's going on inside your heart? Lord, I want to do your will. I mean, we should all be praying that anyway, shouldn't we? All of us. Whether we are serving here in the church, whether we are serving in the community, whether we feel God is leading us abroad. Now, I would say, don't everyone get up and leave and go around the world. It has happened on occasion. I think at one point we had about 5 or 6 people left, and they were all served workers in the church, and they all left and went abroad, all at the same time. Oh, it was awful. But if that was the case, and you did go, we who are left would be rejoicing. Yeah, we would. We would be rejoicing because you are doing God's will out there. Okay? Jesus is the one who is building his church. Okay? And if he says, okay, off you go. You go. But what about this? And what about that? What about my family? There was a guy called Charles Studd 100 years ago or more, and he felt a call to go to China, and he was wrestled with by his family. You can't leave mother. You know, his brothers were saying, you can't leave your mum. She will be heartbroken. I had to leave my mum. Michelle had to leave her mum. Do you want to, we read a very, very amazing word again in Oswald Chambers, and it says, God is able to enfold in his will, in his love, all those who you had to hurt to go and do his will. Right? God is able to enfold in his love all those you had to hurt in order to do his will. And when we read that, that gave us such peace in our hearts. Okay? God is able to enfold. I can remember one time we got a letter from Val, and it just said, enfolded in his love. You know? Don't make family an excuse. So, what has happened from this church? So we're not talking about, or apart from Romania for the moment. So people have been to Mozambique. They've used their upholstery skills. They've cared for kids. They've done office work over in Mozambique. People have gone to Portugal and done English language teaching. Peter, the pastor here, he set up an English school in Porto. Doesn't sound right. Somewhere. Thank you. And Val went, and Myrtle went, and others visited. We had a couple who, their daughter was a serving soldier, and they felt on their hearts to minister to soldiers. So they went to the Falkland Islands, where there was an army services base, and they worked with the chaplaincy and ministered there. And then they got moved on to Cyprus and were doing the same thing there. That's what was in their heart. In Thailand, well, we know what's happening in Thailand with Rob and True. Olaf and Manuela, who used to be in this church, they started an orphans project, and they had different children from different parts, even from hill tribes and everything. And then there's their evangelism. Rob and True, last time they were out, they were over COVID, they were dorm parents in a missionary school, international school. Amazing. My brother-in-law Dave and his wife went to India, and they were teaching in a Christian school there. We know that John and Roseanne are in Romania working with local community. Patricia went to Cambodia, didn't you? Yeah, with your radio, which was, again, something very different. But she was there with them. We were looking after boys, street boys. We had a couple in the church called Ray and Sylvia Skinner. Oh, that really goes back. They felt Solomon Islands on their heart. They've never come back to England. And he works in a pharmacy. She worked in a school. And then they were in the church. And then they went on mission trips with the church. For years and years. And they've now retired out there. And that's just a few. Okay? And I'm thinking to myself, I hope this doesn't put everybody off. I could never do that. I could never do that. But what's on your heart? What is there? Yeah? What is there? That you say, Lord, you're speaking to me. Doesn't have to be the under 25s. You can go as a retired person. We waited until all our children had left home before we went. But In the meantime, our outlook must be global. Okay? I don't know what I do. When I'm walking in town and I see an African and I'm hearing them talking, I listen to see whether they're speaking Kiswahili or not. I do that. And then if I hear them speaking Kiswahili, I will butt in and talk to them. East Africans are on my heart. But we pray, don't we? Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I might not be able to go, but I want to pray. I want to pray for our missionaries. I want to pray for what you're putting on my heart. It might be a people group. It might be a sector of society. Finica, that we've mentioned at the beginning, to begin with, she worked with street youth. And a lot of them were drug addicts, were transvestites, were doing all sorts of weird things. And she felt the call to go to them. Wow. It starts where you are with what you have. Okay? That is our starting point. Lord, what have I got? What's in my hand? What's in my heart? Lord, I want to do your will. If that's your heart this morning, Lord, I want to do your will. Start in the family. Help Monica with the international evening. Do this. Do that. Serve. Do God's will here first. As you develop as a person, say, oh, I can go. I feel God's calling me to do something in Clifton Road. Great. Monica's got a little bit bigger vision than Clifton Road at the moment. She asked for 500 invitations, and her and her team will be distributing them throughout the area. And I don't know whether you know, but last international evening, a lady came to the door and she said, I just want to find out what you're doing here. That was at the international evening. She didn't want to come in. She said, I never knew this church existed, but I got a leaflet through the door. And I just wanted to find out what you do here. And of course, I instantly reached to the What Goes On at Clifton Hall leaflet that I haven't produced yet. I want one of those. So I told her a little bit about the church and the international evening and what have you. Oh, okay. Thanks then. And off she travelled back to Howard Street. I thought this... I didn't know this church existed, she said, and she lives in Howard Street, this lady. What Monica will do with her team distributing those invitations to the international evening, you never know what it's going to produce. I think it's quite exciting, really. You never know what's going to come. Who's going to come? Pray. Start by praying. Lord, what's your will for me today? What's your will for me as I grow as a Christian? What do you want me to do in the church? What do you want me to do in the community? In England, what do you want me to do in the world? Do you remember a while ago, I told you, I think it was around Easter time, I told you that my socks had been blown off, that's the terminology to use. I had been stunned by a gift for Hope in Africa from America of £15,000. Some of you will remember that. someone in America looked at our website, emailed me and said, how can I help? I want to give. And I gave him a list of the things that he could do, and he wrote back and said, I want to give £15,000 to Edward for this. Now, Edward's place is now open, and I got another email last week saying, how can I help again? This man is Sri Lankan, living in Florida. And he said, I've got some money, I want to give again. And I gave him a list of options, and he said, I want to give £10,000 towards finishing off Patrick's vocational place that Jason and I went and started last September. Isn't that amazing? He can't go himself, so he gives. Now, obviously, he must be a businessman. And he gives. I think, wow, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But thank you for that brother who has said to God, what do you want me to do? And he hasn't said go. He said give. Okay? There are different ways we can be involved in global. Some of you give every month for Rob and True so they can live. That's fantastic. Show me what you want me to do, Lord. Show me your will. Let me just read that first part of that quote from Oswald Chambers. The aim of the missionary is to do God's will. That makes us all missionaries, doesn't it? All of us. I just want to do your will, Lord. And if I do your will in my house, I'm doing it. Some people say, are we doing enough for God? And my answer is, if we're doing what he's told us to do, the answer is yes. If we're doing what he wants us to do, that's all we need to do. Whether it is at home, whether it's with the family, whether it's with the church, or out there, or globally. Let's not have a jolly boat, since we're all just enjoying life here together. Let's look to God to put things in our hearts to reach others. Yeah? Some people, I know when Michelle had our four kids at home, she couldn't do much at all except look after the kids. And she would have said, that's my mission field. For now, my children are my mission field. At the moment, our grandchildren are our mission field. What's your mission field? The rest of my family, these people, my work colleagues. Start with what you have. Where you are with what you have. If you do go abroad, you still need church. You need church there. And you need the church here. It makes such a difference to the person out on the mission field knowing that their church is praying for them. Yeah? It makes such a difference. And if you communicate, even more. We used to love it. We used to get a letter once a month from Sue Morley, snail mail. We got emails now and again, but Sue used to sit down and write us a letter. And it meant so much just to get a letter. Because it means someone's thinking about us. Isn't that nice? So many things we could do. What do you want me to do, Lord? When you're out there, you need church as well. Some people were planting churches, so they were doing it all the time. But you need fellowship wherever you are. I've got a friend of mine who lives in northern China, and he was back in England recently, and I said to him, "What are you doing for fellowship?" He said, "I sit with my wife." And his wife's Chinese, and he's English. He said, "I sit with my wife, and that is the only fellowship we have." Because he's not got a home church in England. I felt so sad that he's not got people behind him praying for him. So we can pray for Rob and True. We can pray for John and Roseanne. We can pray for Monica as she organises the international evening. Yeah? I think that's about all I want to be able to say today. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you that you are, oh Lord God, your heart is to reach every person on the planet. You have given the life of your Son to reconcile every person to you. And that's done. We just have to go out and give the good news, Lord. And we pray. We pray, Lord, in all the things we've thought about last week and this week particularly, Lord, we want to pray and ask you to show us your will for us. For us as individuals, for us as a church. Lord God, show us what you want us to do. And then, Lord, when we have heard the things that you want us to do, Lord, we pray, Lord, that we would have willing hearts to do what you are calling us to do. So thank you, Lord, that we can serve you wherever you choose. We look to you, Lord God, to minister your heart to us so that we can serve you in these days. And we pray this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen.